Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight live on WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio. Glad to have you aboard. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. We're on remote location in Andrews, North Carolina, celebrating the second Passover. We're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to share some, if you will, some interesting aspects of Passover. Maybe, just perhaps, some things that you've never considered before. Now, call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air. We'll be glad that you did, and we think that if you are interested in festivals, the times of the seasons, you know, we believe that perhaps, now this is just perhaps, that one of the problems with the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that had become blinded by tradition. Full well, the Bible said, you reject the commandments of Yahweh to keep your own tradition. He's talking about the house of Israel, two, four, and about, and that's all we're talking about tonight, because the Bible, the Word of God, and the Living Word is exclusively, here's where the rubber meets the road, exclusively for, to, and about the house of Israel and the lost sheep. So we're going to give you some things to ponder, to think on, to encourage you to get involved in the practice of festivals, keeping those things. Now, I can make this statement, and I can be 100% right, because I know that for the years that I have been keeping the festivals, and this is the 14th year of correct, what I consider correct keeping of the festivals. Now, the Bible said there's a way that seems right. We're all struggling, we're all striving to enter into the straight gate, but a few are only able to find it. We'd like to help you and point out some of the errors that people have conceived and brought forth in their minds. Now, by being victims of a seem right way, we have put aside the commandments of our Holy Father, in other words, rightly dividing the word of the interpretation scriptures. So let's get into the word. We're going to start tonight in Numbers chapter 9. I've got a lot of scripture to cover for you. And we're going to consider the second Passover. I want you to really get your mind geared to why that we keep the second Passover. Why not the first Passover, Pastor Buddy? Isn't that the one that Christ kept? Did Christ die in the first Passover? Well, you may find out things tonight. If you are a student of the Word of God, you may find out things tonight that you haven't heard before. Now, the Bible said, prove all things and to hold fast that which is good. So then, the things that are hidden from the wise and prudent, he said, in the last days I'll send forth the shepherds, the fishermen, and they will hunt for you, and they will fish for you, and they will bring the whole truth or light upon the subjects that has in the past been darkness. Now, let's start in the fifth verse of Numbers chapter 9. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. Now, this is the first Passover that they were keeping. The house of Israel was obligated and instructed to keep the first Passover. Now, that's true. Now, they also were instructed to keep this Passover as a family in a theocratical government. This is when Israel was organized and in the government, because Moses was keeping them collectively so that their conscience and their worship could center around the divine Word of God and the commandments that he sent forth. They shall keep the Passover in the first month, even in the wilderness of the Sinai. According to all that Yahweh commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men. Now, this question will come up every time in a theocratical government where you have as many as 3 to 4 to 5, possibly million people at this time. It increased into large numbers even in the time of Christ. There was large numbers. And remember now, the first commandment was that they must love Yahweh with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and do it and keep it according to the dictations of the law, according to His Word. Now, we're talking about first Passover. They had to assemble where Yahweh chose. Now, they couldn't go out and individually or locally keep a justified Passover themselves. They had to come together as a family unit, the whole house of Israel, the whole 12 tribes. They had to come together and to keep the Passover wherever Yahweh determined that His name was and His temple. Now, here's an interesting question for you. In the last days, isn't it true that 2,000 years ago, 70 years after the Messiah was killed in a Passover, we know He became Passover for us. And so then, 70 years after He was killed, the Bible says, and He warned the house of Israel that they would come and tear down the temple where He had instructed them to keep the first Passover. Now, without a place of the name, then the first Passover is no longer valid. And so then there has to be a superseding power or commandment for those who are now in a far journey or separated from the commonwealth of Israel and moved out of the land with no temple to worship in. Then here comes the second Passover analogies and typologies that we're going to give you tonight. And we believe most assuredly that the Father will give you a depth of comprehension that you've never had before in your life. Now, there were certain men that were defiled by the dead body. I want you to think about that analogy, a dead body. If you was to think about Israel, scattered, and concerning the law, dead in their sins, and in need of some kind of a redemptive justification to go ahead and to keep these festivals. Now, let me assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that the Word of God is forever settled, nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken away. But in the superseding powers of the first covenant, which is old and ready to vanish away, according to the book of Hebrews, with the Apostle Paul's instruction that he gave us the law and none of us could keep it. Therefore, we became dead to the law and only justified by the blood of the true Lamb of God, not the lambs that walk on four legs, but the two-legged lamb that came for a redemptive covering by His own blood, redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, I want you to think about that. Let that sink down into your spiritual mind. And now, let's go to the law covenant statues of the second Passover. they were kept back. Remember, if you touched a dead body, you were disqualified from keeping the first Passover. And these men desired to eat the Passover. Now, what is the Passover, Pastor Buddy? Could you briefly explain? Is it a sacrifice? And you people, when you talk about keeping the covenant festival of Passover, they always, oh, that's under the law. We don't sacrifice more. The covenant of Passover was never a sacrifice to Yahweh. It was His gift. He told them to take a lamb in its yearling stage. It couldn't be over a year old. What does that typify? It typifies the pureness, the innocence of the blood that was to be shed in a type of our Savior who was to come at times 1,000 years later, and in cases thousands of years later, to offer His own blood as a type of the true Lamb of God as He was slain from the foundation of the world. And offer an offering of Yahweh in His appointed season among the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, stand still. Now, isn't it amazing that Psalms 46 and 10 said, stand still and know that I am Yahweh. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it amazing that we have the power and the liberties of Christ to know the true and the living one through His spoken word, not the written word, but the living word that is forever settled. You see, what was necessary true in those days, ladies and gentlemen, although it was wonderful truth, it's not true today. Now let me reposition that statement just slightly, change it and alter it just a little bit that you may get a more clear understanding on what Pastor Buddy just told you. This is very important. What was true yesterday, and I'm talking about the Word of God, has now been superseded by a new set of divine living Word covenant principles, and so it is with the second Passover. Now remember, the Bible says that the second Passover was for those who had touched a dead body. Now I want you to think about yourself, and you are the temple of God. I want you to think of in terms of you being unclean and unworthily, not unworthy now. You see, the word unworthy is a flat statement that you would never be worthy to appear before Him. But the Bible don't say that. It said, let a man examine himself to see where that he's worthy to take the cup and share the common meal of a lamb dinner, not a hound dinner like the Christians do. They go out and kill a pig and sacrifice a pig just like the Roman general in 70 AD, when they came in, they tore down the temple, and in disgrace to the Hebrew people, offered a pig instead of a lamb up on the altar. Now, Pastor Buddy, did they offer a lamb to God? No. The lamb was slain for the feeding of a people. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now remember, the statutes and covenants and the rituals of Passover are for teaching purposes. We'll get into that if we got time. We're going to try to cram a 4-hour message into an hour. So I'm going to move fast, but I hope and trust that I can open up your understanding to why that you can only be qualified to keep the second Passover. You'll never be qualified as a stranger in a far journey to offer up a lamb or to kill a lamb and to share or to celebrate Passover. The only avenue open to you today for justification is to keep the second Passover. Now remember, it's for those in a far journey also, those that's touched a dead body, and those that are in a far journey. Oh my, what a wonderful analogy of typology that the Father wanted us to share with the revelation of not the first Passover. Remember, I'm going to give you something that probably will startle you. Christ, the Lamb of God, was not killed on the first Passover. Now let me repeat this. This may impact your spirit to the point where you want to ask questions. Let me repeat it, and so that we'll explain it now, since we have stated it emphatically. Nothing can be added to the word and nothing taken away. I am going to prove that Christ did not, absolutely did not die in the first Passover. You say, well, what difference does it make, Pastor Buddy? It makes all of the commandment statues of revelation and typology, it makes all of the difference in the world and could possibly, if you can see into this great mystery, give you an opening into the spiritual realm of the typology of learning more by keeping the second Passover than you've ever comprehended in the first one. Now, when you start keeping the second Passover, your mind will come alive with knowledge. Now, let me repeat this. When you become a willing and obedient servant, the Bible said, to him that heareth, more will be given. I pray that the Father will bless you in understanding and comprehension that more of this spiritual guiding ritual truth. You see, Passover is just a ritual. You say, but why do it anymore? Christ was our Passover. Well, of course, those that were before Christ kept the Passover religiously, the first one, and when Christ came and died in the second Passover, you say, how do you know he died in the second Passover? I'm going to prove it to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ did not die in the first Passover. Now, if he didn't die in the first Passover, we do know that he died in a Passover, then the question will remain, what Passover then did he die in? It would have to been the second Passover. And we're going to prove that when we get through reading here in Numbers chapter 9. I'm just laying a little gestalt, a groundwork for you, if you will, to bring you into a higher realm of comprehensional understanding of spiritual things. Because the house of Israel in 721 B.C. was scattered abroad, and then 165 years later, the house of Judah also was removed from the land. And so then, we have what is known as the scattered sheep. Now, isn't it amazing that Christ, dying in the second Passover, did not die for the Jews that killed him in the first Passover, but died in the second Passover for those who had been scattered abroad. Oh my, what a terrible love story that God loved his sheep good enough. Now, I'm only his sheep. Good enough that he laid down his life for those that weren't even there. He laid down his life for those who had forgotten him. He laid down his life for those who had forsaken him. He laid down his life for those who were in a far journey. And this is the beauty of the typology of the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. Now, the Bible said his ways are not our ways. It also said, search the scriptures, for wherein you think you have eternal life, you don't have any. Many are going to be deceived on the day of judgment, when we're going to hear them say, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, by the law that no one is eligible or no one can qualify to keep the first Passover? Now let me repeat that. For those of you that have kept the first Passover in the festivals and the symbology, and you did it ritually and religiously, are trying to please the Father and show forth your willingness to learn and to obey. Now, I'm going to give you a new phase for the last days of revelation that can come forth and can enter into your mind and can press it down and run it over with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That is the revelation of the second Passover. Now, would you believe that in the Bible, it is recorded three times in the Bible, the New Testament, where we're going to move into. Now we're going to the book of Matthew, and we're going to the 26th chapter in the book of Matthew. And we're going to read for you, and we're going to cross-reference and cross-search. And I'll prove to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and the Bible said, prove all things. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now, my question then is this. If Christ did not die in the first Passover, why would you keep it to commemorate or to honor him or to ritually do things to please him? Was there something deeper? Was there a mystery of a veil? As the Bible says, when they read the law, that the veil of Moses is over their eyes. I want you to comprehend this. I want you to search for the depth. I want you to look beneath the veneer of the seam right way. I would prefer that you fast. Do you have your fasting time in? How long has it been since you pushed your plate back from the table and refused to eat for 40 days? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, that's impossible. I can't do that. Well, what about 30 days? Oh, Pastor Buddy, I'd starve to death, and I'd get a headache, and I'd get sick, and I'd probably get bored. I certainly couldn't work and all that, and all these things that we know. Well, what's so important about fasting and praying? The Bible says that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Or you can accept the word of a prophet by faith. And follow that prophet, not blindly, but make the prophet that teaches you, make sure he don't speak anything presumptuously. Make sure he didn't give you the 25th chapter of his imagination. Make sure that he proves all things to you. And if there's any preacher under the sound of my voice that can prove that Christ died in the first Passover, I need you to call me. I need you to give me book, verse, and chapter. When I'm fixing to give you book, verse, and chapter in the three instances where that he was alive and well in the first Passover. Even the Jews were afraid to kill the Messiah in the first Passover. We say, well, why was they afraid? We know they killed him. Everybody accepts that Christ died on the day of Passover, which is the 14th day of the lunar calendar, which tonight, beginning tonight, ladies and gentlemen, right about now, the 14th day is fixing to come into positive action. Now, we know that on the night of the 13th, and everybody thinks that Christ ate the last Passover. Ladies and gentlemen, I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ never ate any lamb or any unleavened bread before he was killed. This lamb went with leavening in his soul and in his heart. Not that he did any sin, but he was made sin for you. If he had eaten unleavened bread, it would have meant that the leavening was removed, and therefore it would have been impossible for him to die with unleavening in his life. Now, isn't that strange? Can you grasp the depth of just what I said? Did that go by you or over your head? Was it too high for you? Can I reiterate that Christ had to die without leavening in his life? Now, or with leaven in his life, because he did not eat the unleavened Passover of the first Passover. And everybody thinks he ate a Passover because some of the compiling of the New Testament indicates that Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. But it doesn't say that. That's man's opinion, putting the heading on the verses, and man comes along, unlearned, unskilled in the Word of God. And remember, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Christ did not die in the first Passover. I'll prove it to you. Now let's go to the 26th chapter. We're going to start. I will start at the first verse of the 26th chapter, and I'll read four verses for you to prove that Christ did not die. I'll prove to you that the Jews refused to kill him because they feared by killing him in the first Passover when all of the house of Israel had gathered into the temple where they must come to offer the lambs through the Levitical covenant and have them presented to each family individually, and each family was then qualified to take the lamb and to eat it on the night of the 15th. Now remember this. You cannot eat the first meal with the lamb and the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs and the wine. You cannot partake of that until the beginning of the 15th day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if Christ ate an early Passover, as some suggest, and that's a lie, he would not violate his own word. He was the Passover. He couldn't eat it and be the Passover too. One, you'll have to choose which one he did. Did he eat the Passover? And the answer is a qualified no. And we can prove this, and we're willing to debate this with any preacher, any covenant member of the house of Israel. We ain't got time to argue with those that's not of Israel. We will debate it, or we will discuss it with those with a sound mind and a reasonable spirit that wants the truth. Now, if you're not interested in truth, you just want to showboat and highlight and profile, we ain't got time for you. Christ did not die in the first Passover, and that is a qualified statement that can be proven in the Word of God. Christ did not eat the Passover. We'll prove that to you. Now, I'm going to give you, and it came to pass that when he had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that in 2 days is the feast of the Passover. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't that qualify that he's talking here 2 days before the Passover? It's not after the fact. And I'm going to prove it to you in the 17th verse. Now, then they're assembled together. Here it is, the plot. Here's the conspiracy to kill him. And ladies and gentlemen, I will indict those that killed him were the Canaanite Jews that knew what they were doing. Oh, you say, Pastor Buddy, glory to God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, glory to God, that Christ was hanging on the torture stake or the cross, as they call it, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's not the correct rendering of that verse. Somebody has added to the text, sly by word, deceive the very elect, and unless you do your homework in original languages, go back and search the scriptures, for wherein you think it's correct, you may be riding a wrong horse. Then there are some together, the chief priests and the scribes. Remember what he said about the chief priests and the scribes? Beware of them and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest. And they consulted. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a conspiracy. You tell me they didn't know what they were doing when they plotted in a conspiracy, premeditated murder? And everybody just got through watching the Passion of the Christ, a wonderful expose of the suffering at the hands of those deceitful ones, those evil ones, those antichrists. And we're told they didn't know what they were doing, and that Christ was to forgive them, when the original Greek says, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. You'd like to have that in a printout or a copy. If you can't buy you a Greek interlinear, I suggest you get one, a J.P. Green interlinear, Greek, Hebrew, English, would do you well to read the original Greek says, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Then they assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders and the people of the palace of the high priest, and they consulted that they might take him by subtlety and that they may kill him. The subtlety of the conspiracy was to deliberately frame him with two false witnesses and put him to death. They consulted how that they might, with a subtlety, that they might kill him. But. Everybody say, but. Now, but gives us a pause to think. But they said, and listen to what they said. I'm taking their word for this. Not on the feast day. Now, when was the feast day? The Passover was drawing nigh. Matter of fact, it was the next day. We're now entering into the 13th day. But not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the Jews are keeping the first Passover. And they now determined that they shouldn't kill him. Now, you make up your mind, did they kill him or didn't they? You say, well, they killed him on the Passover because my preacher told me so. Did he ever tell you which one?
Well, no. Pastor Buddy, this is new to me. I've never heard nothing like this. Glory to God. Now, I've got to run and check my preacher.
And you know what he'll tell you? Oh, don't pay no attention to that. Just bring you a ham Easter Sunday morning. Come on down here, and we'll get over in the graveyard. Glory to God. Because we don't keep Passover and kill lambs no more anyway. You see, ladies and gentlemen, are you making fun of them? Well, Elijah made fun of the prophets of Baal. Are you going to follow that with me because I mock them? Because they're ignorant? Because they're silly prophets? Because they're deceitful? Because they know what they're doing? Because they're hard by those who would prosper to deceive the very elect, if possible. Of course I'm making fun of it. Now, look at, draw you a line, if you're following me in the Bible, and I hope you are, Matthew chapter 26, I'm in verse 4. Just don't kill him on the feast day. Well, what day did you think they killed him? Would you agree it killed him on the 14th? Now, did they kill him on the 14th of the first Passover, or did they kill him on the 14th of the second Passover? Wouldn't the crowd be reduced significantly? You see, those that reassembled in Jerusalem 30 days later to the day on the very commandment structured of the second Passover. And remember, now, folks, the first Passover was in Egypt. The second Passover will be in New Jerusalem. That's the type and the typology and the symbology of what I'm trying to get to you. Now, draw your line from verse 4 over to verse 17. Now, when the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, now what day would that be? Somebody tell me, I pray, what would be the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Any preacher worth his salt knows that that would be on the 15th day, or the approaching of the 15th day would be late in the evening of the 14th day, when they're getting prepared to eat the first meal of the lamb and the bitter herbs, and the bitter typifies the travels and the bitterness of the suffering of Christ and the people of Israel, who have long been a foreshadow or a type and shadow of the suffering of Christ. they that reign with him must suffer with him. If you're not willing to pay the price, if you're not willing to change, if you're not willing to learn, if you're not willing to obey, if you're not willing to keep his commandments, then I can politely say to you, go to hell. With all nations that forget our Redeemer and his saving grace and his way. Remember, the Bible said there's a way that seems right. Are you in that same right way? Do you keep the first Passover with no justification? You must have a temple. You must be at where his name was centrally located in a theatrical type of government where that they all congregated together in the first Passover, and they were required, every one of them who was not in a far journey or had touched a dead body, was the only excused ones, and they had to keep it 30 days later. If you didn't keep the Passover, you got cut off. Oh, Pastor Buddy, well, you see, glory to God, we don't have to do that no more. All we do now is come home on after Sunday, and we eat the ham. And we go up to the graveyard on Easter Sunday morning, and we turn our face over towards the east, and we worship the sun. Not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N. Sunrise Easter services, paganism of the Catholic Church, incorporated and brought into the denominational system of the harlots from the whore. Now, I may be going too fast for you, but I got to cover this, and I ain't got time to get into that. So, you Bible students know where Pastor Bud is coming from. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where will thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Now, wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. He should have been hanging on the torture stake on the 14th. He can't eat the Passover and die on the Passover. You've got to decide which one he did. Now, if he died on the first Passover, then the Jews lied over here in the fourth verse, in the fifth verse, when they said, let's don't kill him on our Passover. At least there'd be an uproar, and all these millions of people rebel and riot in the streets because everybody feared him, because they all acknowledged that he was a prophet. You see how the wisdom of the Jews? But you know what they did? They declared him unclean. Now here it is. Where would we go? Luke 22:10. Go into a city. There you'll find a man bearing a pitcher of water. There follow him and make ready that we could eat the Passover. Now remember, he didn't eat the Passover. But the Bible said he desired to eat it. He didn't say he eat it. He said he desired to eat it. But I won't eat it with you until I eat it new with you in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that amazing? You see, ladies and gentlemen, Christ, on the night of the 13th, when he was washing feet, that's what we're doing here tonight, we're practicing the rituals of foot washing. Now, where'd that come from? I pray tell you that you read Genesis chapter 18. And you'll find out that Abraham washed the feet of the Messiah, who came to visit him and to warn him that Sodom and Gomorrah was in need of a Passover. You see, when Christ came to Abraham, Abraham was keeping a Passover. And ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing that the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis indicates that so was his nephew, Lot. Did you know that the two angels that went down into Sodom and Gomorrah to remove and to save or sanctify or cover righteous Lot? Remember, they vexed his soul from day to day. Is your soul vexed in this wicked, adulterous, homosexual-filled land where our cities are filled with the filth and the ungodliness of those who participated as they did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? And Christ said, as it was in those days, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the end time. You better get ready. You better prepare. You better get in where the blood will pass over you. Where will we go? And they spoke to him, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That would have been the dawning of the 15th day at the end of the 14th when he should have been on the torture stake. Now let's go quickly over to the book of Mark. We're going to the 14th chapter, and we're going to read verse 1. After 2 days was the Feast of the Passover, and an unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes saw how that they might take him by craft. In other words, this is a preconceived, premeditated conspiracy to kill him, and how that they might put him to death. Verse 2. But they said again, the Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, I challenge any Bible reader to prove Pastor Buddy wrong here tonight, but they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Now, you know what the feast day was. The 14th was a work day, and the first feast day was a high Sabbath, which is the 15th day, when they ate their first meal, and it had to be in the first Passover. And he had to die in the second Passover, and that's the Passover he died, in the ritual symbology of those who in a far journey proved his love for those that he laid down his life for those that was in a far journey. And the first day, draw you a line from verse 2 over to verse 12 in the book of Mark chapter 14. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they had killed the Passover. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't talk to somebody if you're dead. Here the disciples ask him, when they had killed the Passover, first Passover, he didn't die in the first one, he died in the second one. They said unto him, when they had killed the Passover, killed, past tense, not to kill, but killed, when they had killed the Passover. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if he was your Passover, do you believe they died in the first one? The first one typified those that know what they were doing. The second typifies those that were unclean, dead to the law, unknowledgeable, and in a far journey. Oh, what typology, what beauty, that the Father hid this from the wise and prudent and revealed it to the babes and sucklings. And I hope you're grasping this meat that's coming out on your table tonight. Bell, the house of Israel on the shepherd's call, and all those that support the truth around the nation and in foreign countries that help us here on the shepherd's call. The first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, ladies and gentlemen, he was the Passover. If he died on the 14th day, which I can prove he did, then I can also prove he didn't die on the first one. Now, if you're there keeping the first one when he didn't die, shouldn't you reconsider your foolishness or your ignorance? Now, the time come that the Father, the Bible said, that he winked at ignorance, but now he's going to call on all men to repent. Now, let's go over to the book of John. We're going to close it out here tonight because time is getting away. We're going to the 13th chapter of the book of John. We're going to prove to you that Christ did not eat the last Passover. We've already proved to you he didn't die in it. Now we're going to prove he didn't eat it. He didn't die in the first Passover. He died in the second Passover. He didn't eat the Passover because he was the Passover. If it had ate the Passover, that would have put unleavened bread into his body, and the body couldn't have been broken, and it would have been impossible for him to die. He died with the leaven, the type or the shadow of what it takes to kill you. Leaven kills you. Make sure there's no leaven in the temple. This symbolizes that Christ died with a body of leaven rather than unleavened bread, meaning he did not eat the first Passover. He did not eat the second Passover. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I know, bless God, it says there in the Passover that he broke the bread and rose from supper and ate and washed the saints' feet. Have you ever really read that scripture? Have you ever stopped? Is your eyes so blind? Are you reading with a veil? Does it take strong words from a minister to correct you? Are you in need of correction? Have you stumbled and fall through ignorance and fear and superstition? Will you come to the knowledge where the Bible said they are forever learning but never able to come to the knowledge? And tonight the Father's calling you repentance to keep the second Passover and not to keep the first. Now, John 13:1, turn with me and read, and I'll prove to you that Christ did not eat a Passover meal. Now, before the feast of the Passover. Now, let me read that again. Now, before the feast of the Passover. Let me read it again. Now, not after the feast of Passover, but before the feast of Passover, which always happens on the 15th day. If Christ died on the 14th, this was on the night of the 13th, which was the last meal, and that's what we're doing here tonight. We're taking our last meal of leavened bread and breaking it and washing feet and examining ourselves to see if we qualify to enter into the Passover, which is all ritual symbology of having no leavening in our life. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world, listen, ladies and gentlemen, he was the Passover. He had to die on the second Passover on the 14th day. Therefore, this meal was not the Passover meal, as most Christians believe. It was the preparation meal that he was breaking and sharing the bread and washing feet. As I've done alluded to, the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, for your factual covenant, long before the law was given, they were keeping a Passover to commemorate that Abel shed his blood, and the Bible says that the Son of God, Abel, a type of Christ, ritually was slain by the Canaanite Jew, who Satan was his father, the same one that slew Christ, slew Abel. And let me assure you that all the righteous blood from Abel unto Christ shall be required unto this last day, shall be required of this wicked generation. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. And the word that I have spoken shall judge you in the last day. Do you think you're qualified to keep the first Passover? I don't think so. The theocratical government of Israel has long been disbanded. The house of Israel is scattered abroad in an afar journey, and the only justification that you have to keep a Passover would be to keep the second one because you're in a far journey. The Bible says that you can slay your meal, the lamb, called a sacrifice. Now, don't get it in your mind that they burned all these lambs and just burned them up to Yahweh. The lambs was a gift from Yahweh to you as a type of his body to share the last covenant meal in ritualistic form to celebrate the Passover in Egypt thousands of years prior to his dying. 4,000 years, approximately, to be exact. Now, before the feast of the Passover. It says in John 13, it was not the Passover meal as most Christians believe that he ate. Again, proving that Christ did not eat the first Passover. Christ did not die in the first Passover. Christ did not eat the meal of the second Passover. He ate the preparation meal of the 13th day, just before the 14th dawning, because they came and arrested him on the night of the 14th, after midnight. They took him and jailed him and interrogated him. And as the Passion show so clearly, they evilly entreated him. They bruised him. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails. They opened up his frame. His bones stared back at him. And they hated him without a cause. Who was that killed Christ? The Antichrist. You see, folks, the people of Christ would not have killed Christ. It was the Antichrist that killed him. Your father is the devil, and the works of your father, Christ said, you will do. And then you believe he turned around and hung on a torture stake and said, forgive them? Well, they know not what they do. Isn't that a cross of the words that he had already said, your father's the devil, and the works of your father you will do? He knew they were killing. He prophesied that he would die. Your job is to find out just exactly who killed him. And then, maybe, just perhaps, you will put on the whole armor of knowledge, because as it says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. My, how time's got away. I'd love to be with you for another hour to really get in this and to really bring it down in simplicity and to prove all things. We gave you a 4-hour message in less than 60 minutes. I hope and trust that we have pierced your heart with the truth. I hope and trust that the veil has been lifted enough that you could see the truth. Christ did not die in the first Passover. I challenge any preacher under the sound of my voice to prove he did. And come here on the Shepherd's Call and debate me publicly and openly. And the Bible says we'll prove all things. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if these lying prophets, and even these prophets that seem right, oh, they have deceived the very elect. It's the same right prophets that deceive you. These prophets that are obviously deceivers is not going to deceive anybody. It's those that seem right are going to lead the sheep astray. And the Bible said they would deceive the very elect. They have a way that seems right, but the end thereof is death, and from such turn away. Now, let me remind you tonight that you can call me tonight. Pick up the phone. I'm going to give you a new phone number. I'm on remote, but I'll give you a new phone number to call me. Call me at area code 828-321-1010. Now, let me give it to you again real quickly. Area code 828-321-1010. I'm going to take a few calls. I can't take many, but I will take a few calls. And you can call me here tonight at area code 828-321-1010. If you'd like to talk about this message, or if you'd like to get our address, let me give it to you real quickly. You'd like to write me, and I hope and pray and trust that you just take my address and write me a letter and tell me what you think about this new mystery that you perhaps have never heard. Christ did not die in the first Passover. He died in the second. He did not eat the first Passover or the second. He was the Passover, and he died in the second Passover for those who were unclean, those who were not worthy, those that could not keep the law, reckoned to be dead to it and scattered abroad in a far journey. Oh, if you fit into that category, you need to get the knowledge of the second Passover. You can call me tonight, area code 828-321-1010, or you can write me, Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now let me give it to you again. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. We'll give you truth where the rubber meets the road. We're not going to cut it or water it down for you. We're going to bring it on just like the Bible says, with the right interpretation, and we're not going to try to deceive. We want you to go to heaven. We want you to hear the word. We want you to prove all things in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now, if you'd like to call my sponsor tonight, call them in the business hours of between 9 and 5. Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Now, if you'd like to call Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. These are toll-free numbers. Won't cost you anything to call. Call and pledge support to the Shepherd's Call. These men will take your calls. They are staffed here at their offices. and they will take your call. Now, if you'd like to send a contribution to the Shepherd's Call, you can send it to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824 as well. Now, you can call me again tonight. I'm live on remote. We are in the second Passover. We're celebrating it tonight. Remember, the first Passover was in April, begin on the third day. That would have been the 14th day. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're 30 days later. We're in May. We're in the second day, and we're beginning the third day here now, which is the first day of Passover, which is the 14th of the lunar calendar, and that's the way we keep the Word of God. Now, the Bible says that many will strive to enter in, but would not be able. Are you striving? Are you spinning your wheels in mud of false doctrine? Are you spinning your wheels and getting nowhere in the things that seem right? The Bible said there is a seem right way, and they that go thereon will be destroyed. Don't be destroyed. Do not be cast out of the works and the ways of God. Come to Him tonight and hear the living Word as we are now closing out tonight our show, and we really appreciate you. We pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, I pray tonight that this message of the second Passover has pierced the veil of ignorance and fear and superstition and tradition. I pray, Father, that you will anoint with the eye salve of truth to a special elite few that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Father, I pray that the wings of the angels who are guidance, who watch over us as guardians, I pray that they rise up on the wings of an eagle right now and fly into the spiritual presence of those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you said they shall be filled. My eternal, mighty one, Yahweh Elohim, Yahuwah, may the blessings be upon the lost sheep of the house of Israel. May they come to the full knowledge, and may the whole earthen temple of those we speak to be filled with the correct knowledge of the Father. Until next Sunday night, this is Pastor Buddy, live and direct from Andrews, North Carolina, in fellowship with the brothers and sisters here in Andrews, having a glorious time in celebration of remembrance of the beginning of the days, where we will be eating unleavened bread for the next 7 days after tonight. May the Heavenly Father bless you with all knowledge. May He keep you until next Sunday night. This is Pastor Buddy saying, Yahweh's blessings be to you, and may He shine upon your soul.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Standard Time on this great station. Praise Yahweh.